Thanks to our recovery plan, we will double this nation's supply of renewable energy in the next 3 years. We've also made the largest investment in basic research funding in American history, an investment that will spur not only new discoveries in energy, but breakthroughs in medicine and science and technology. We will soon lay down thousands of miles of power lines that can carry new energy to cities and towns across this country. And we will put Americans to work, making our homes and buildings more efficient so that we can save billions of dollars on our energy bills. But to truly transform our economy, to protect our security and save our planet from the ravages of climate change, we need to ultimately make clean, renewable energy the profitable kind of energy. So I ask this Congress to send me legislation that places a market-based cap on carbon pollution and drives the production of more renewable energy in America. That's what we need.
Welcome back to Midday. I'm joined in Studio A this hour by John Campagna, a green investment expert with Benchmark Asset Managers in Baltimore. And joining us by phone is Robert Pollin, professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts, and we're looking at economic recovery the green way. John, a comment about the president's remarks there.
Yeah, we just heard him say that he placed a market-based cap on carbon pollution. This is sort of the third prong we've been speaking of. He's been speaking direct federal spending. Mm-hmm. We're talking about tax credits to augment private investments. But now we talk about a cap. Well, how does this cap drive private investment? Well, what it does, it needs private organizations, private businesses like a power plant will now need to buy carbon credits because they may be over a limit. As they're reducing, hopefully reducing over the years, they'll still need to pay some of the penalty for overproducing carbon. Well, that penalty will go to farmers, foresters, other places that are sequestering carbon. So now what you're doing, you're driving business, you're driving income to these type of work that's traditionally has been very underfunded. Farmers get probably one-third to one-half of the income they truly deserve. They grew their crops, they sell their crops and make money on that. Mm-hmm. But if they do the land properly, and most of them want to be steward of land, they should get credits for water purification, carbon sequestering, and so forth. These type of market-based caps do that.
It's very interesting. Did you have a specific project you wanted to tell us about that's local that people can help people identify and understand what we're speaking of here?
Well, there's one in the neighborhood of Barclay, and most people know in this city, the Barclay is one of the poorest and most violent neighborhoods. It has the highest returning ex-felons out of the prison system of Maryland. What the city's trying to do, in joint partnership with some developers, is redevelop the neighborhood, not do urban removal, but actually renew the neighborhood and allow the citizens to stay in the community. So what they're doing, they're training the ex-felons to come in and do demolition on the house. Now, what does that have to do with the green economy? What they mean by demolition is actually almost a hand demolition. They're going to recycle most of the material they find, because you know these old row houses have copper plumbing. They have some timber that you cannot find on the market anymore. You know, they have beams the size of, you know, Chevys at some of these places.
Right.
So if we take them down correctly, and by taking them down gently, correctly, and by hand, you're alleviating the lead dust that spreads neighborhoods when these houses
or
are
asbestos. Who knows?
Asbestos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the rats just running out like crazy. Because, you know, mm-hmm. you knock down an abandoned house in this neighborhood, you usually have like hundreds of rats come flying out, first of all, anyways.
So the whole approach is green.
The whole approach is green. And that's an example where we're trying to get some funding from foundations and religious groups to actually fund a pilot project. And the way that money would come back to the investors was reselling of the material that they're going to take out of the houses as opposed to putting it in the landfill and just wasting it.
Right. And another element of what John just described, Robert Pollin, is you're training someone, or you're providing a job and some on-the-job training for someone who desperately needs it.
Right. I mean, the whole point about the green recovery as a short-term program and the green agenda for the long-term is that it will create more jobs. Spending money on anything creates jobs, but spending money on the green economy creates more jobs per dollar than spending on fossil fuels. According to the research that I've published, for $1 million of spending, if you take a basic portfolio of green investments, you get about 17 jobs. If you spend the same amount of money in the fossil fuel economy, including oil, coal, and natural gas combined, you create about 5.5 jobs. So that's 3.5 times more jobs within the green economy than the fossil fuel economy. And that differential is going to continue for a generation as we build the clean economy. So this is a tremendous opportunity both to create jobs, to create new opportunities, and to transition to the kind of energy system that we need. And I would just add also that it's true, a lot of the jobs are in the green economy are low-paying. About 25%, I'd say, earn less than $16 an hour. At the same time, you do have job ladders for people in construction and manufacturing, much more than you do either in the fossil fuel economy or in service sectors, like working in restaurants, hotels, home care, and so forth. So this is an opportunity to also move people into job areas where there are ladders and opportunities for improvement. It all fits together.
Robert Pollan, we recommend his piece that appeared in the Nation magazine, and you can read it online. It's the January 28th edition of The Nation called Doing the Recovery Right. In the studio with us is John Campagna, who's with Benchmark Asset Managers here in Baltimore, very interested in green investing, socially conscious investing, and an advocate of ecosystem service markets. And sometime during this hour, I'm going to ask you what that means, ecosystem service markets. One of those terms, I think I know what you mean, but we want to hear it from you. We're devoting both hours of the show today to green economic recovery, how the United States might connect protecting the environment, in particular addressing global warming, with economic growth, job creation, and even poverty reduction. Our phone number here is 410-662-8780. Let's take some phone calls, gentlemen. Dale in Greenmount West with a comment that addresses something John was just speaking of here. Hello,
yes,
Dale.
Sir. Yeah. How you doing, Dan?
Good.
Good afternoon to your guest. I'm happy to say that he's doing something in the demo field in construction that I myself have been doing for like 15 years, recycling as much waste as I could in the markets that would take it. But I call to say that I think a more pragmatic version of the green economy is what can be done in houses that exist right now, not necessarily public buildings, although there's a problem. You have a lot of homeowners in the greater Baltimore area that have houses that are over 20 years old, majority of houses 60, 70, 80, 100 years old that have old windows, old doors, old plumbing systems, old electrical wiring. It's no good if they upgrade the wiring system that gets to the house, and once the electrical current comes into old infrastructure in the house, because you're still going to have an energy loss. You're going to need
Dale, you're talking about retrofitting these older homes?
And even if you want to do solar, you're going to have to do some upgrade in the house to accommodate those new systems.
Right, so John and Robert addressed that, how that works. You're saying that if you're a smart contractor in Baltimore, you're going to get into this, right?
I mean, there's a couple levels here. I mean, let's be frank. A lot of people can't afford some of this upgrades that really we wish we could do, and I hope some of the stimulus packet will drive some of that. I don't know the particulars there. Dale, you may know some of the simplest stuff we can do includes like some of the row houses, paint the roof white. Mm-hmm. Right now, most row houses' roofs are black. And in the summertime, it absorbs so much heat, it's unbelievable. Paint the roof white. If you can afford some insulation, or if you can do it yourself, I did the insulation. I have a 100-year-old house here in Baltimore. And my bill this year, my utility bills are the same as they were last year, even though the price is significantly different because I insulated the attic better. I mean, simple things like that. I hope the stimulus package will drive. I hope Maryland will start doing some state tax credits on solar installations to help people do that. So,
Robert Pollan, do you know, would it include, does the package include some incentive like that or tax credits?
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing is what I would like to see, I hope will develop, is a market for people that will serve as kind of the middle person, the intermediary, and maybe even people that will take the risk, so that homeowners themselves don't necessarily have to do anything except let the retrofitters into their house, do the retrofit, and in a few years, after the money is paid off from a bank or somebody who's paying for this, then their bill goes down. Well, on average, a $2,500 investment will produce about $900 per year in energy savings for homeowners. So it'll take 3 years to get your investment paid back. And right, a lot of people don't have $2,500 to put up right now. So that what we need is for banks to get involved, utilities to get involved, communities, and there are, I know about business people that are putting themselves in the middle, and they do the upfront investment, and then they get the return, and they, of course, do it for a fee. So it becomes profitable, but it becomes practical for the homeowner.
Yeah, what's happening in New Jersey, for example, we actually are financing a firm called Solar Farm, and they install solar on roofs of residential units. Jersey gives such a good tax credit that the installation basically is covered by a tax credit that comes back as soon as the installation is done. And so we are, our financial firm Benchmark is the bridge financer, and we pay for the installation and the equipment, and then the tax credit pays us back, and we make about a 6% profit on it. So it's a profitable investment for our investors. It's about an 18-month to 2-year investment for our investors. And it's exactly the point. The homeowners don't pay a thing. And now they have solar on their roof, and they're paying it like a utility to Solar Farm, who installed it, who owns it.
Right.
And they'll upgrade it in like 10 years or so. We haven't gone through that phase
yet. So Solar Farm actually owns the system?
Yes.
It's installed, so you're renting it, basically.
You're basically renting it.
Yeah. Let's take another phone call. 410-662-8780 is the number here, live talk on Midday. Here's Jeff in Baltimore with a question for our guests. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, and you actually just mentioned the kind of idea that I had. I want to do a solar farm in Baltimore City, similar to what you were talking about the company Solar Farm doing in Jersey. How would I get started doing that?
Well, the big issue here in the state is there is no tax credit at this point that subsidizes to the point that Jersey does. So that makes it a little difficult. When you look at the installation, and if you just do the raw numbers, the payback would have to be higher than you would if you had a utility bill for the same amount of energy as of now. We're hoping that the state will put some tax credits in place where this would be something that would be feasible for the state of Maryland. But it does depend on tax credits in New Jersey right now.
Robert Pollan, this seemed to be very exciting to a lot of people. I mean, do you actually think that those who are used to conventional thinking about the economy, about the age of continued growth. I guess this is the reality. The cold reality is hitting us now. But those who have been in, say, the construction field, for instance, for a long time, are developers. This calls for a whole new way of thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, the construction industry is going to benefit more than any other industry from building the clean energy economy, just from the notion that it's building. Building means construction. To build wind farms, to build, to put solar panels on homes, to retrofit homes, replace the electrical grid, to upgrade the public transportation system. These are all kinds of construction projects, large and small, and that's as it should be because the construction industry is suffering as a result of the collapse of the housing bubble and the financial markets. We've lost 1 million construction jobs. So the construction industry, above all industries, should be very enthusiastic about this new wave. At the same time, I think we have to recognize that the construction industry has been a redoubt of males, white males in particular, that it has not been open in terms of employment opportunities for females. It hasn't been open to racial minorities. And those things are going to have to change in order for the construction industry to have the support of the population in terms of getting these opportunities. The opportunities are coming. So they should be the first ones in support of the green economy because this is where all the jobs and contracts are going to be for the next generation.
On that note, then, maybe you are optimistic about President Obama's pick for Labor Secretary, Hilda Solis?
I think she's an excellent pick. I mean, I don't know her personally. I've read about her. And I do think that she is the right person to enforce the laws that are already there. There are contract compliance laws that the Labor Department is supposed to enforce to promote employment opportunities for women and minorities. They just haven't done it. Some unions, and some of the construction trade unions, have been sensitive on this and have done some work. But as it is, right now, white males constitute about 65% of all employment in construction. If you add Hispanics, white and Hispanic males are about 90% or 93%, something like that. So we've got a long way to go to open up the employment opportunities in construction, especially since the construction industry is going to be getting so much public support.
I guess when you bring the green sentiment to something, you are talking about something that is comprehensive and touches all aspects of what we do here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The green, one of the things I myself actually object to the term green jobs, because it suggests that it's something off on the side. There's a sector of the economy that it doesn't apply to ordinary people.
Right.
It does apply to, like I said, construction, but not just construction, manufacturing, services. What about the accountants that are going to be doing the work to monitor this? What about the lawyers? What about the secretaries? What about there's a lot of transportation that's going to be done. There's a lot of truck drivers. There's going to be a lot of freight rail. This is a comprehensive program to restructure our entire energy system and thereby our entire economy. It's there before us. It's the work of a generation, and it transcends all sectors of the economy.
Robert Pullen is our guest by phone from Amherst, Massachusetts, where he's professor of economics and co-director of the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts, also co-author of Green Recovery, a program to create good jobs and start building a low-carbon economy. In the studio with us here at midday is John Campagna, green investment expert with Benchmark Asset Managers in Baltimore and an advocate of ecosystem service markets, a term that he's going to explain after this short break. We'll take some more phone calls. It's Green Day on Midday, 410-662-8780. Green jobs, green recovery, even though Robert doesn't like that term. Helping the environment and saving the economy. Our toll-free number is 866-661-9309. Questions or comments by email are welcome always at midday@wypr.org.